Just a warning that this is the last time that we will celebrate until Christmas. We celebrate on the last Sunday of Pentecost, the Feast of Christ the King. Next week, the church turns purple. That's right, all of the beautiful white hangings will be turned into purple as we will celebrate the Feast of Advent. Well, today, as the Feast of Christ the King, we're about to enter into that most blessed season, a season of preparation. We've got to get ready, because 1 week from today starts a new church year. All the readings roll over from year B, which is where we're in this year, to year C. That's what happens on the first Sunday of Advent. It begins and is often called a Happy New Year. And we prepare for two things: the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. But we also need to prepare and be ready for his coming again. What was it Jesus said? No one knows the hour of the day but the Father, when the Son will come. Our gospel reading today is taken near the end of Jesus' earthly life, the trial of Jesus before Pilate. And Pilate knows what he's heard about Jesus, but he has to ask. So he comes right out with it. Are you the King of the Jews? And this idea is so laughable to him that he already knows what the answer is. He sees before him this poor man from a part of the country that to him is the wrong part of town. I mean, what good ever came from Nazareth? He sees before him this poor man with a small band of followers that have all run away. He thinks, of course, he's not the king, but maybe he thinks he is. Maybe he's really deluded. Better ask him and find out. That's what was taking place. And towards the end of the reading, after being questioned by Pilate, Jesus tells him why he came to be born. Pilate tells Jesus, "Oh, you are a king then." And Jesus answered, "You are right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." And Jesus came to testify to the truth, to set the world back on track, to save the world from the penalty that comes with sin, eternal death, to pay the debt that no one else could pay. God promised a means for someone else to pay our debt and to shed his own blood for us. You know, I love this time of year. People will often pay people's layaway plans. That's happened a couple of times where somebody went to a Walmart and said, "All the people that are on layaway," and they paid it all. Jesus showed so much in his word to let us know what he would do, that he would, if you pardon the quote, pay it forward. All the way back in Genesis 22, Abraham was leading his only son, Isaac, up the mountain that would one day be called the Temple Mount. Isaac was carrying the wood on his back for his sacrifice, and he asked his father these words: "Father, the fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb." That's Genesis 22, verses 7 and 8. All the way back in Genesis, God promised that he himself would provide the lamb. He himself, in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. I want you to hear these words from the Gospel of John, very beginning, 14th verse. "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." And John's Gospel continues with verse 18. "No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." My brothers and sisters in Christ, God himself provided the lamb. And that's why we celebrate today. That's why we begin to prepare for the remembrance of his birth. And that's why, as we celebrate at the altar today, you will hear the words that we recall his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his promise to come again. He is Christ the King, which literally means Messiah the King, the one who paid our price and died in our place, born once so that we might live, sacrificed once so that we might live. There's no sacrifice taking place over and over and over again. It's once. And we recall that oblation, that offering that he made. I want to remind you of the prophecy that Daniel referred to that we heard Ron read this morning as his birthday gift in chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. He wrote, "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." Does that make more clear the Alpha, the Omega, the first, and the last? There's no denying, God gave Daniel a vision, a majestic vision of Jesus, the Son of God, in the kingdom that he referred to in his statement to Pilate. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." Wow. If Pilate only knew who he was talking to, his decisions might have been quite different. There would have been no exchange for Barabbas. But Jesus had to go to the cross in order to fulfill his mission, in order to free us. You know, at this time of year, everybody loves the baby in the manger. I know tomorrow I'm going to be putting my nativity set out in front of my house. It seems like people are really into decorating this year. Isn't that great? How many trees are up already in your homes? You know, it's a start. Hey, I don't think I've ever done it this early, but there's something this year that's special. There's a feeling. I know there's all those songs that say, but all of the Christmas songs, all the presents, the shepherds, the star, the angels, the wise men, the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh. But not everybody loves what that represents, because that's only the beginning of the story. You see, in order for salvation to come, there's got to be a Good Friday. There has to be a scourging. There has to be a crown of thorns on our king. There has to be three nails. And there has to be a cross. Unfortunately, some people have a difficult time accepting a Savior who convicts us as sinners, asks us to repent and be transformed by his love. And there are some people that only hear the words that Jesus spoke on the cross, recorded in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." They may think that Jesus was letting the world off the hook, but instead Jesus was asking for forgiveness in order to give us the opportunity to make the choices ourselves. Which way to live? In sin, separated from Almighty God, or forgiven? Washed clean by his blood and the sacrifice that he made. So that, as John wrote, recorded what Jesus said, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. He asked for forgiveness so that we might live. Now that's some kind of king. That instead of saying, "Kneel and kiss my ring," he decides to give everything for his people. And we're his people. Now that's a gift. I want you to hear what Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, reminds us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things are held together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. Now that's some kind of king. My dear friends, my brothers and sisters, shouldn't our lives be about the Lamb who took our place on the cross? Shouldn't our lives be about preparing to join him when he comes again? And shouldn't our lives be about living the message of forgiveness and love that can only be found in Jesus, and sharing that message in everything we think, do, and say? When you're confronted with an issue with a family member, the two best things you can do is pray for that person. And second, love them. Don't argue with them. Love them. We should be showing them what Christ the King did for us so that they can find out for themselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.